In 1291, Switzerland had nothing. No coastline, no gold, no silver, no navigable rivers, no access to the trade routes that made medieval Europe wealthy. It was landlocked in the middle of a continent where wealth flowed through ports that Switzerland could not reach. Its entire territory was mountains, dramatic, beautiful, and economically worthless. The people who lived there were subsistence farmers, scratching food from alpine valleys that froze for half the year. By every measurable standard, Switzerland in 1291 was one of the least promising pieces of real estate in Europe. Today, Switzerland has the highest per capita wealth of any country on Earth. Its banks manage more private wealth than the entire GDP of France. $1 in $3 of all global offshore wealth passes through Swiss financial institutions. The Swiss franc has appreciated against the dollar, the pound, and the mark for over 100 years straight. And Switzerland achieved all of this without a single natural resource, without a colonial empire, and without ever closing its economy behind a wall of tariffs. In fact, Switzerland did the precise opposite. It built its entire financial fortress on the foundation of open trade, institutional neutrality, and one rule that its government has followed without exception for 700 years. And that rule is the exact rule America just broke. Stay with me. To understand what Switzerland built, you need to understand the one asset it actually had in 1291. Not gold, not farmland, not geography. Neutrality. Switzerland sits at the intersection of France, the Holy Roman Empire, and the Italian city-states, the three dominant powers of medieval Europe. For centuries, every conflict between these powers crossed Swiss territory, through its mountain passes, over its bridges. The Swiss learned early and expensively that small nations that picked sides got absorbed. Small nations that stayed neutral survived. Neutrality was not a moral position. It was a survival strategy. And survival, it turned out, was the foundation of everything that came next. But neutrality required something to back it up. Switzerland's answer was its military. Specifically, the Swiss pike infantry, the most feared fighting force in 14th and 15th century Europe. Swiss mercenaries were hired by every major power on the continent. France hired them, the Pope hired them, the Italian city-states hired them. This created something more valuable than any natural resource, a reputation. No major power wanted to invade Switzerland and immediately turn every Swiss soldier serving in every other army into an enemy. Military reputation created physical safety. And in physical safety, in a continent constantly burning with religious wars and dynastic conflicts, was the rarest and most valuable commodity in existence. The first people to understand the financial value of Swiss safety were wealthy Protestant merchants fleeing France's religious wars in the 16th century. When France became a killing ground for anyone on the wrong side of the Catholic-Protestant divide, wealthy families needed somewhere to put their capital where a change of government couldn't confiscate it overnight. Geneva offered something no other location in Europe could match. Protestant, neutral, protected by geography and military reputation, outside French jurisdiction, but close enough to conduct business, capital began flowing in. Not because Swiss banking was sophisticated, it wasn't yet, because Switzerland was safe when everywhere else wasn't. The first law of Swiss financial success was not skill or innovation, it was simply being the one place where your money wouldn't be seized, burned, or inflated away by a government at war. Over the following 2 centuries, Swiss bankers learned from their clients. They developed instruments for managing wealth across borders and generations. They institutionalized discretion, absolute confidentiality that wealthy depositors required when moving money governments might want to tax. Swiss banking secrecy was not invented as a loophole for modern tax evasion. It was a survival mechanism for families whose lives literally depended on governments not knowing what they owned. By 1815, when the Congress of Vienna formally guaranteed Swiss neutrality as a matter of international law, the first country in history to receive that legal status, the implicit safety that had attracted capital for 3 centuries became explicit and permanent. Capital flows accelerated dramatically. Here's the critical thing nobody explains about how Switzerland actually made this work economically. Switzerland never tried to produce everything itself. It never raised tariff walls to protect domestic industries from foreign competition. It never decided that because it had watchmakers, it would ban imported clocks. It never decided that because it had bankers, it would restrict foreign financial services. Switzerland's entire economic model was built on the opposite principle. Specialize in what you do better than anyone else, trade freely with everyone, and let the world's capital and commerce flow through you. Swiss watches, Swiss pharmaceuticals, Swiss financial services, Swiss precision manufacturing. These industries became globally dominant, not because they were protected from competition, but because they were forced to compete with everyone and became the best in the world as a result. Open trade made Switzerland excellent. Protectionism would have made it mediocre. The institution that locked this model in place was the Swiss constitutional debt break, introduced in 2003. It requires the Swiss federal government to balance its budget over the economic cycle. Surplus years must offset deficit years. The result is a national debt of approximately 40% of GDP. America's is 123%. Japan's is 260%. Switzerland has fiscal space to respond to any crisis because it refused to spend that space during normal times. And critically, Switzerland has maintained this discipline not because its politicians are saints, but because the rule is constitutional. Changing it requires a national referendum. The Swiss electorate has consistently voted to keep the brake in place because Swiss voters understand what 700 years of institutional discipline actually built. Now here is exactly where America's decision this week becomes a historic inflection point. On April 2nd, 2025, the United States imposed the broadest tariff regime since the Smoot-Hawley Tariff Act of 1930. The argument in 2025 is the same argument that was made in 1930. Protect domestic industry, reduce trade deficits, bring manufacturing home. In 1930, Smoot-Hawley triggered immediate retaliation from 25 countries. American exports collapsed 61% in 3 years. Global trade fell by 66%. The trade war that followed deepened and extended the Great Depression by years. The last time America tried to wall off its economy, it didn't just hurt American consumers. It restructured the entire global trading system in ways that took decades to repair. Switzerland looked at that 1930 experience and drew the opposite lesson from the one America is drawing today. Switzerland concluded that small open economies built on trade and institutional trust are more resilient, more wealthy, and more stable than large closed economies built on protected industries. And Switzerland has 700 years of data to support that conclusion. America is looking at the same data and deciding the experiment is worth running again, this time with a $36 trillion debt load that 1930 Bakeliners America did not have, and a global trading system far more integrated than 1930, with trading partners that have built supply chains and financial alternatives specifically designed to reduce dollar dependency before this moment arrived. Here is the compounding problem. Switzerland built its financial fortress on trust. The trust of depositors, the trust of trading partners, the trust of global capital markets that Swiss institutions would honor their commitments regardless of short-term political pressure. Trust, once spent, does not return quickly. It took Switzerland 300 years to build the reputation that makes the Swiss franc the world's safe haven currency. America built a version of that trust after 1945. The dollar's reserve currency status was not just a financial fact. It was a trust relationship between America and every country that held dollar reserves, that priced oil in dollars, that built trade relationships on the assumption of American institutional stability. Switzerland has maintained its trust for 700 years by following the same rules regardless of political inconvenience. America is changing its rules, and the countries watching that change are not forgetting what they see. Switzerland built the world's strongest economy per capita without tariffs, without natural resources, without a military empire, and without ever defaulting on the institutional commitments that made global capital trust it. America has natural resources. Switzerland could never imagine. A military no other country can match. A currency the entire world depends on. And capital markets deeper than any in history. And it is choosing to spend the institutional trust that makes all of those advantages worth something. One tariff at a time, one deficit at a time, one broken rule at a time. Switzerland's lesson is not that America needs to become Switzerland. It is that the specific things America is doing right now are the precise opposite of the specific things that built the most financially successful country in human history. Switzerland had nothing and built a fortress. America has everything and is dismantling one. If this changed how you see tariffs, the dollar, and what Switzerland's 700-year experiment actually teaches us about the consequences of what America just did, subscribe. Because I'm tracking exactly how the institutional choices that made Switzerland the world's financial fortress compare to the choices America is making right now. Hit that like button if Switzerland just made America's tariff decision look completely different. And drop a comment. Do you think America's reserve currency status protects it from the consequences Switzerland proved come with closing your economy? Or is $36 trillion in debt and a trade war the combination that finally makes the math undeniable? Because Switzerland had no natural resources and followed the rules anyway. America has every resource imaginable. The question is whether it still has the institutional discipline to follow them. And right now, the answer to that question is changing.